This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Systemic lupus erythematosus, or more commonly known as lupus, has nearly tripled in the last 50 years. And estimates indicate that currently there are at least 1.5 million Americans who have lupus. But is this a true increase or the results of improved early detection of mild disease? Well, here with some answers is Dr. Andres Pearl. He's the Division Chief of Rheumatology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Pearl. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's begin by explaining, what is lupus? What exactly is it?
So lupus is a systemic autoimmune disease, which is a prototypic autoimmune disease that can affect almost any organ of the body. It's a chronic disease with a waxing, waning presentation.
So people, sometimes you're more in, you have more intense
people can
symptoms.
Have flares.
Flares.
Usually people get flares 1 to 2 times a year. The average is 1.7. Flares can last for days to weeks, sometimes months, and people do not go into remission. These are the more severe cases. There are milder cases that do not flare every year, and the organ system involvement is much more limited. Fewer organs are involved. The survival of lupus right now is much better than it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, about 50% died of lupus.
Really?
In 5 years. Today, the mortality is about 10% in 5 to 10 years.
So we've come a long way in treatment? Is that what's made the difference?
Yeah, the treatments have significantly improved, and the diagnostic workup has significantly improved. That helps with earlier treatment, also helps with diagnosing of the patient, so perhaps that explains why the increased incidence of the disease.
So then, in fact, it's a little bit skewed. It's not truly an increased incidence, but we're catching it earlier and being able to treat it earlier.
That's
and
right.
Being more successful.
That's right.
Therefore, in the
That's
treatment.
Right.
So just you said it's a prototypic autoimmune disease. Help us understand what's happening in the body when we say autoimmune disease. What's going on?
Right. So the immune system is normally, we believe, is designed in a theological sense to protect us from infectious organisms. When the immune system encounters a bacterium or a virus which is foreign to us, we make antibodies, and our cells within the immune system produce compounds which destroy these organisms, like the T cells do that.
So the T cells, we were just talking about T cells on another show, and we were talking about them as almost the infantry in your army of your immune system, and they go out and they destroy
organisms or the cells infected by these organisms. Upon elimination of the antigen or infectious organism, the immune system should wind itself down. For example, if you have an upper respiratory infection, you can develop swollen lymph nodes, which often happens on some people have bad teeth. They develop a swollen lymph node, a gland, which in a few days dissipates after the offending organism has been eliminated. You take antibiotics. In lupus, this doesn't happen.
So in other words, what happens, somehow the immune system gets revved up to attack an invader, but it never revs down?
That's right. So there is an inhibition of death programs within the immune system. That's a major genetic pathway that leads to lupus. Also, since I bring in genes, it's genetically determined. So it's inherited.
So it runs in families?
It runs in families, yes.
And is it literally generation to generation?
There are many genes involved. We have identified a number of them. The concordance rate in identical twins is 25%.
What translate that in
so
lay language?
So if you have an identical set of twins, there's a 25% chance for the second twin to develop lupus if the first one has it. That also implies that there's a lot of environmental factors that contribute to disease.
It's not 100%.
It's not 100%, right.
So if you have a mother who's had lupus, does that mean all of her offspring would end up with lupus?
About 5%.
So it's not
about
right.
5% at most. But if there are identical twins, it's much higher.
But when you're saying about you, I interrupted you, I apologize, you're talking about environmental. So you're saying it is a combination of kind of nurture, nature. So you have the genetics and the environment. What environmental factors do you think play a role?
So among the environmental factors, for example, viruses and infectious organisms that rev up the immune system, which happens in everybody, can operate as triggers of the disease. It's believed that they operate as initial triggers and also triggers of flare.
So if you get a cold and you have the tendency to lupus, you might have that immune system gets revved up to fight the cold, but then it stays revved up. So help me, I mean, it's, and as you said, it can be, it's chronic, so it goes on for basically your entire life.
That's right.
When does it show itself? I mean, and who's most at risk?
That's a very good question. So the prevalence, which is the frequency that you encounter in the population, is about tenfold higher among females. And it becomes more prevalent with adolescence, with appearance of the periods, menses, lupus starts to develop and becomes more severe.
Endocrine, there's got to be some
estrogen. Estrogen, for example, plays an important role. When menopause occurs, about to develop, usually the flares become less severe and the disease tends to wind down.
So estrogen amplifies the whole experience.
Definitely does.
And I read somewhere that women of color also have a higher incidence?
There's a much higher incidence in African-American females. Going back to the environment, an important trigger is UV light, ultraviolet light, which induces cell death and typically skin death, as you might imagine. People get sunburn, and that also activates the immune system. And in patients with lupus, the ability to downregulate this immune response to the damaged skin is also damaged. So that's one trigger.
Does that mean that if you get a bad sunburn, you might get a flare?
That's exactly right.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Andres Pearl, and we're talking about lupus. So what are the other complications of the disease? I mean, you say it can affect all parts of the body. Give me some examples of some things that happen.
So, as I mentioned, lupus can be triggered by ultraviolet light, so people develop rash. The so-called butterfly rash is very typical. That affects the face. You can develop photosensitive rash on any part of the body. Arthritis is very common. About half of the patients develop arthritis of the small joints. That tends to be not as severe as rheumatoid arthritis, not deforming, but still very painful and debilitating. The inflammation can involve internal organs. Typically, the kidney is involved to a variable degree. The kidney damage used to be the number one cause of death until 20 years ago, when dialysis and preventative treatments have preserved the kidney in most patients. And now other organs are involved, the heart, the vasculature. The number one cause of death in lupus today is infection, due to the fact that we use immunosuppressants to downregulate the immune system.
So you have an immune system that's out of control in lupus. So you use suppressants to downregulate that immune system, and then you leave the body open to other infections.
That's right. So that needs a lot of fine-tuning, what kind of immunosuppressants you use and what kind of antibiotics you employ with the slightest appearance of an infection, so it doesn't get out of control.
We talked earlier about the idea that it's possible that there's not a true increase, but that we're getting it earlier. So how are you currently diagnosing it? I know you've been doing work in what the field of biomarkers. Help us understand what that means and how does it help diagnose lupus?
So part of the diagnostic workup are laboratory tests. We have a number of laboratory tests which, if they are positive, they highly suggest lupus. These tests have been become part of the clinical workup perhaps 20 years ago or so, and they are still used. However, more recently, new biomarkers have been developed that can not only predict the disease, but can predict flares of the disease. These biomarkers, genetic changes, changes in gene expression, not only predict disease, but they also indicate what kind of genes could be targets for treatment. So these biomarkers now are increasingly used by the FDA to predict responsiveness to drugs. So
helping to develop new drugs, I would
think,
as well.
Help to develop new drugs, because the drugs would be specifically targeting these genes, which are abnormally expressed. And once they are down-regulated by the therapeutic intervention, you can predict that these would be effective. So you need fewer patients to do a clinical trial, so it would be cost-effective. And you can also predict responsiveness to some type of treatment. Lupus is not a single disease.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it affects all those different organ systems, and even though it, at its core it's an autoimmune disease, I would think treatment would have to be multifaceted.
Right.
So what kind of treatment goes?
So when you use immunosuppressants, some of these immunosuppressants have side effects. So depending on the organ system involvement, you use one or the other. For example, if somebody has liver disease,
liver?
You're not going to use an immunosuppressant that can damage the liver. Vice versa, if somebody has kidney disease, obviously you're not going to use an immunosuppressant that can damage the kidney.
So you're saying some of these drugs that immunosuppress, that suppress the immune system, have side effects that could damage the organ. So you have to really target the particular drug of choice,
right,
so to speak.
To protect the organ which is being damaged by the inflammation, not only that you want to down-regulate the immune system, but you don't want to do damage to the organ.
So this is very highly specialized treatment.
It is very highly specialized.
You really need to have basically a rheumatologist with experience with lupus, I would think.
I would certainly say so.
So what other things, as far as the blood tests that are done, your analysis, there's an ANA test, I guess, is looking for a certain antibody in the
blood.
That's right. And these biomarkers. What other tests are done?
We do clinical examination, which is also very important. Things are not overlooked, like rash, sometimes hidden some parts of the body. People don't get undressed sometimes when they see physicians, and certain types of rash don't get noticed. Or arthritis can be difficult to diagnose. The swollen joints sometimes are overlooked by fatigue, which could be prevalent, highly prevalent, and people forget to mention that I have stiff joints, for example, and the synovitis, which is inflammation of the joint, doesn't get recognized.
So it's a fairly comprehensive evaluation.
It is a comprehensive evaluation.
And you can be pretty sure if a number of these factors or features are there that you have diagnosed it successfully. But now it looks like the outlook is much more positive, given the fact that you said there's been such a reduction in mortality.
That is true.
And what's on the horizon for this disease?
So
we have a little bit of time.
Yeah, so the first biological was approved to treat lupus in 2011. This biological, when it was given to patients in a controlled clinical trial and compared to placebo, resulted in a 14% increased responsiveness, 14% more than the placebo. Seems like very little, right? 13% more patients responded to the drug than placebo.
Right.
So this was the first drug that was approved by the FDA in 60 years to treat lupus. That tells you it's really hard to treat, and it's hard to have one treatment that works for all patients across the board. So you need probably very specialized treatment for different groups of patients. So we ourselves are developing also treatments which are biomarker-driven, and many other groups are doing that. So there are new drugs on the horizon.
So there are new drugs, and the goal is to use these biomarkers to target and figure out what particular drugs will be most sensitive to particular patients. Kind of targeted therapy.
Yeah, it's kind of personalized medicine, which you generally want to develop now, you know.
Similar to what's going on in the field of cancer today.
That's right.
Thank you so much. This has been very, very enlightening. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing this. And let's hope we'll continue on that quest to reduce the amount of mortality from lupus, especially with work that you're doing. My guest has been Dr. Andres Pearl. He's the Division Chief of Rheumatology at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.